Praise the Lord. All right. How many of you are tired today? Let me see your hands if you're tired today. Yeah. That's all right.
Yeah, if you could raise your hand, would it? It'd be like, ah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it was quite a workout yesterday, but it was well worth it, right? And I'm anxious to share the word with you here today, and I want to turn your attention to the book of Matthew chapter 1. Someone told me they couldn't sleep last night, so they came here to... Anyway, so I'll do my best. Matthew 1, we're going to start in verse 18. We are continuing the series that we began a couple weeks ago. Oh, actually last week. And we're calling it the Do You Hear What I Hear series. And what we're doing is taking some famous lines or verses from some famous Christmas songs that maybe you've heard before, and we're kind of using that as a backdrop for an entire message. Last week, we shared on God and sinners reconciled, and that was a powerful day. Last Sunday. God really, really touched a lot of lives. A lot of the messages I got were just amazing how God moved as we were looking at God's Word together. Of course, that's the power of God's Word. Amen. Today, I want to share another one. This is from the song Away in a Manger. And the title of my message is Be Near Me, Lord Jesus. Be Near Me, Lord Jesus. You ever had those moments where you weren't so sure if Jesus was actually near you or not? If you've been a Christian for any amount of time, you've probably had those moments where you felt kind of alone, maybe isolated, or maybe not cut off from other people, but you just wondered, okay, where's his presence here? What's going on? I think we have those moments where it's hard to grasp really where his presence is. Sometimes it's when we go through some stuff and we go through some things. And as a setting for this message, I want to direct your attention to the announcement of the birth of our Savior in Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. And we've sung about Emmanuel all morning long, about how he is with us. And I want us to focus on that theme today, that God is with us, as we find ourselves in these moments in our lives where we cry out to him, Lord, please be near me. It doesn't seem like I can feel you. It doesn't feel like that you're really there. And I don't think I've done anything wrong. I haven't killed anybody. I didn't rob a bank or anything like that. Now, if you have killed somebody or robbed a bank, Ralph is here to counsel you after the service. But for the rest of us here, if we're in this part in our life, we're just like, okay, be near me, Lord. I'm going through some stuff, and I wanna liberate you a little bit to let you know that it's okay for you to pray that prayer. Because in our earthly minds, in our earthly makeup, I think sometimes we forget just how close Jesus is. So let me take you to Matthew 1, starting in verse 18. I'm going to ask you to stand with me, if you can, and honor God's word. And all the creaking that just took place, it's just, wow. Matthew 1, verse 18. Here's how Matthew describes the announcement of the birth of Jesus. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, And you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. Be near me, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I think that this might be really good timing for some of us here to understand that while we can't sense you or feel you, to be reassured that you're still there. And so, God, I pray that you would speak to us in whatever decision we or situation or conflict or crisis we might be in. God, speak to us right where we're at, I pray. And we'll thank you for all you do in your name. And we all said amen. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. I've shared this example before. I think it might be good if I do it again to kind of set the stage here. Let's see. John Phelps, can you come up here? I'm not going to hurt you. I don't think. Okay. You're good. Just face that way. Now, okay, and this might be tough, but pretend I'm Jesus, okay? A much bigger version of Jesus. And, excuse me. And John is us. He's the typical Christian. And here we are, we're a lot of us, we call ourselves Pentecostal believers. And what we mean by that is, well, that can mean a lot of things for a lot of people. But we believe that God is not just some figure out there, but a relationship with Jesus is something that we experience, right? And so when Jesus is this close, you know those moments where it's just like, oh, I could just sense the presence of Jesus, right? Right? I mean, it's easy. It's just like, woo, goosebump city, here we go. And I'm feeling it. And then there's times where God's kind of leading us, and it's not necessarily a goosebump moment, but he's still there, and he's leading us along, and we just have to follow his leading, and we have to follow his presence. Have I left John? Have I left John? No, I'm still here, correct? Correct? Work with me, people. Yes. Okay, good. Yes. My goodness. All right. And John can see me still. He can sense me. If I wore too much cologne, he could smell me. and so he okay. Doesn't stop. Anyway. But now, there's moments where, let's have you face that wall. There's moments where, right now, John can't really sense me. He can hear me, but he can't see me. It's a little bit different than when I was up close to him. But I'm still here. He just can't sense it. These are the moments I want to talk about today. When it's not Goosebump City, and you don't sense him like you have before, and so you're wondering, Jesus, where'd you go? I'm still right here, but he can't quite sense me in a way that he did when I was here, or when I was just standing right in front of him. Thank you, John. Give my lovely assistant, John, a big round of applause. Thank you. Thank you, Vanna. Appreciate it. All right. So we who really believe in experiencing Jesus, okay, we struggle sometimes with those moments when our physical senses, when our feelers aren't really working. And we wonder, hey, where's Jesus in all this? And we know what the Word of God says, and we even know from past history with either our friends or even with ourselves that, okay, he's there, but then there's like, okay, you're really there. I'm just being gut-level honest with you here today. And we find ourselves praying, be near me, Lord Jesus. And then we're reminded in the book of Matthew when Jesus' announcement of his birth was given that he has a name that says God with us. He is literally God is with us. And I want you to be liberated today and be able to pray confidently, be near me, Lord Jesus, and not feel bad about it, not feel guilty about it, But understand that we as human beings, sometimes we just need to be reminded, preferably from his word, as we're going to do today, that he's there. That he's there. And I want to give you today some situations where we very well may need to be reminded that he's there. And maybe you're in one of those situations today. Maybe you're in one of these modes where you don't even really want to admit it because maybe you're a little embarrassed, but you're wondering, okay, where are you, Jesus? Where are you in all this? I want you to be confident that you can pray, be near me, Lord Jesus, in a few moments. Number one, in times of what I would call dismay. Times of dismay. Times where we're fearful. Anybody ever get fearful? Okay. Times when we're discouraged. Anybody ever face discouragement? Man, I do. I do. So I'll be just a little vulnerable with you. Because I'm a real guy, okay? Just like all of you people. Well, I'm just a real person. And there's moments where I can get a little bit discouraged. And what's the enemy of my soul try to do? He tries to throw these lies at me to think that God's distanced himself from me, that God's rejected me, or God's walked away from me. I think God had this in mind when he was talking to a man by the name of Joshua, when he was calling him to do what God wanted him to do. And in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, here's what it says. It says this: "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God," look at that last line, "for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Times of dismay, times that we're fearful, times that we're afraid, times that we're discouraged. I think these are times that are fertile ground for doubt to be planted in our lives. And maybe you're there today. Maybe you're at a point where you're really discouraged because some things have taken place in your life that you don't understand why that's going on, and you don't understand what's going on, but you're kind of hurting today and you're discouraged. Now, I'm not trying to depress you, so hang with me, okay? But you're a little fearful about what the future, you know what's coming up, whatever that is in your life. And God found himself reassuring this young warrior, the one who was going to basically succeed Moses. He said, "Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. I want you to be bold. I want you to be courageous." Why? Because I'm with you. And wherever you go, I will be with you. Let's be honest. People of God have moments of discouragement. No, don't. I'm a Bible-believing, loving Jesus kind of guy. Okay, let's get real. We're going to be discouraged. We're going to be afraid. I think back to Bible characters, prominent Bible characters, who had moments of dismay, fear, discouragement. I'm reminded of Elijah. Some of you might know the story from 1 Kings chapter 18. Elijah is this lone prophet, and he takes on the prophets of Baal, and he calls fire down from heaven. All the prophets of Baal get killed. He has had quite a day, okay? You think we had a day yesterday? That's quite a day. And what happens? He finds out that the queen, Jezebel, a wicked woman, wanted him dead. And this incredible man of God who had just seen fire rain down from heaven is scared to death. It happens. Can I be so bold to even suggest that we see a point in Jesus' adult life right before he goes to the cross where he's in the garden and he's praying to his Father and he's saying, "Lord, Father, if you will, let this cup be taken from me. Let it pass from me." Now, that is a vulnerable moment that a lot of us don't like to picture our Savior in. We see him as the healer and the Savior and the one that can do anything, but he knew what was coming and the emotion of it. In fact, Luke tells us that the emotion of it was so strong that he began to sweat drops of blood. It's a real physical condition where you are so full of anxiety, hematidrosis is what it's called, that the capillaries in your head just begin to burst and blood flows down your face. It's from extreme anguish. Wow. Jesus has been there. Elijah was there. I could rattle off a lot of other Bible characters. You've been there. And maybe you're there now. I want you to know that in those times of fear, in those times of discouragement, Jesus wants to remind you that he is near to us. Well, then why am I going through this? Could I release you from the need to know why? That could set some people free. I'd do better if I could just figure God out. Good luck with that. Sometimes we don't know. We don't know why we go through. We don't even know why until after the fact. And then we look back and say, oh, well, that makes sense now. But when you're in the midst of it, you don't know. And maybe instead of just trying to sit down and figure God out and go to the Greek and try to figure what God's trying to do in your life, then finding the best concordance you could find and calling Pastor Phil and saying, why am I going through this? And he didn't help because he just said, I don't know. Instead of all of that, maybe we could just be reassured and say, in my time of fear and in my time of discouragement, if I got nothing else, I've got this. He's near me. Be near me, Lord Jesus. So I want to free somebody up who might be facing some dismay, some fear, some discouragement. And you think it's a sign that God is distant from you. It's not. He is near. And you could pray that prayer today. Secondly, not only do I want to show you that we could pray that prayer in times of dismay, but how about times of what I would call discontent? Discontent. Those of you who are trying to guess the words, I just threw you there, didn't I? Some of you, it's the game within the game when you come to church. It's like, what's his next word going to be? Discontent. Not being satisfied. Now, this is a totally different direction. But I found this verse in Hebrews 13, verse 5. And it really hit me hard. And so I want it to hit you hard today. Hebrews 13, 5 says this, keep your lives free from the, let's start over and read it carefully. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Now, how many of you know that we live in a culture that just begs for more stuff? Right? We are about stuff. Some of you donated some of your stuff to the giveaway this year. Unfortunately, you still have about 8 semi-truck loads full of stuff at your house still. Because what are we? We are collectors of stuff. Some of you are hoarders. You know who you are. Don't point. We have spouses getting in arguments right now. But we always cry for more stuff. It's wild. A new iPhone comes out. There is a line for the latest phone. Now, okay, you are looking at a nerd. You are looking at a computer nerd. I love my geeky toys, okay? I am the chief of all the nerds. I get it, okay? But here's what I've had to learn, that my happiness is not found in the stuff that I acquire. So this is where a lot of preachers like to really just go off and they rattle off the things that they don't have that they really want, and then they preach against it. You know, yeah, you got a new car, you got a surround system, and what else do I want? And you got this. And so we're mad. So I'm not going to do that, okay? If you've got nice things, that's awesome. If you've got good stuff, you've got a sweet car, that's cool. But I want you to be balanced to know that your contentment, your satisfaction does not come in stuff. And what's interesting about this verse is that there is this contrast. There is this comparison that the author of the book of Hebrews says. He says, hey, don't fall in love with money. Don't fall in love with stuff. Be content with what you have. In fact, a way to balance that is to remember that Jesus will never leave you and he will never forsake you. Now stop there for a second. So here's what the author of Hebrews is saying. He's saying that if you are so in love with stuff, if you are obsessed with getting stuff and getting possessions, then you need to realize that the counter to that is for you to realize that you need an awareness of the closeness of Jesus in your life. And sometimes the body of Christ in America can be so obsessed with getting things instead of getting Jesus. And that's where I want to caution you. Again, if you have nice things, if God's blessed you, nothing wrong with that. That's fantastic. But I want you to find that your contentment does not come in anything earthly. It has to come in something eternal. And that can only be in Jesus Christ. And our culture screams against this. Our culture says, get everything you want. I remember when the Powerball was way up high, and those of you who are fairly new to the church, you know that I absolutely hate the lottery. I just can't stand it. I just think we should place our trust in Jesus Christ and not spend $20 on a ticket where you're going to lose. In fact, I pray that you lose. So you're in trouble, okay? Because I've seen that ruin so many lives. And I remember I was at a gas station getting my salad. No, I was getting my Polar Pop and probably some candy bar, I'm sure. And the cashier says, well, don't you want a Powerball ticket? And I said, no, my father gives me everything I need. She's thinking, who's his dad? You know, just like, this dude is rich. And she kind of missed the point. My father gives me everything I need. So he'll take care of me. If you've never been overseas, you're missing out on something. Because I've seen people very content with houses that are made of nothing but branches of wood and cow dung. Okay? There's decor. And they're the wealthy ones. I've seen people walk 2 miles in the desert. One woman I saw walk 2 miles in the desert after getting beat up by her husband's other wife. She got beat up, walked to church on that day because she wanted to pursue God. Folks, some of us, we won't go to church if it rains. That was free. That's the giveaway talking right there, that's all. But I think that instead of being so obsessed with comfort and being so obsessed with things, maybe we can have a greater awareness of the presence of God in our lives. That is where true contentment takes place. Again, if he blesses me, awesome. But my contentment, my satisfaction, my happiness is not based on the things that I own. It's based on who owns me. Thirdly today, here's another area. It's what I call discipleship. This message is brought to you by the letters D-I-S today. Discipleship. Pastor, what do you mean? There is a moment at the end of Jesus' ministry where he's gathered with his disciples, and he gives them a command that we call the Great Commission. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, he says this, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. This is what he's telling them to do. Guys, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them, verse 20, to obey everything that I've commanded you. Now, pause there for a moment, okay? We know how this ends because you can see it on the screen. But you're sitting there, and the one who just raised from the dead, who a lot of you think in your group, you think he's going to, like, take over Rome. He's going to be the conquering king. And he says, hey, guys, I got a plan. And they're thinking, okay, all right, this is it. This is where we come against Rome. This is where we do this. This is where we take over the world. And Jesus says, I want you to go and make other disciples. All nations I want you to go. And I want you to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And teach them everything that I've taught you. Are you kidding? Jesus, we just ran away from you when you got arrested like a month and a half ago. And now you've got this huge demand, this huge call in my life. You've got this plan. You've got a direction for me that seems way above me. And let me just pause and just say, anything that God directs you to do is going to be way above you. Otherwise, it's not from God. And then he closes that verse and he says, surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You may be here and thinking that you know God has a plan for your life, but you're thinking, I don't think I can pull this off. And I can tell you on your own, you can't. If you stop this verse without the last sentence, you can't. But when you factor in this, that surely he is with you even to the end of the age, that's a game changer. That means you can. If God's called you to touch the place that you live for the gospel, you can do it with him. Be near me, Lord Jesus, because I can't do this on my own. Folks, I walked through this building Friday night at midnight. I'm walking around here, I'm thinking, oh, be near me, Lord Jesus. How are we going to do this, God? I'm looking at that tent outside that tried to blow away. How many times, Ralph, that tent tried to, like, 2-3 times? Oh, that was fun, folks. I tell you what, the wind just tried to, our neighbors almost got a new canopy through their child's bedroom door window. And I'm thinking, Lord, you know, I walk by the food. God, how are we going to do this? God, I was crazy enough to put this thing on Facebook. 17,000 plus people saw the giveaway on their timeline, I found out. I thought, Lord, if they all show up, how are we going to do this? I'm walking around and I'm seeing walkers and canes and I don't even know what some of this stuff is. I'm thinking, oh, be near me, Lord Jesus. How are we going to do this? And then I was reminded, surely I am with you always. You want to be my disciple? Then you got to do it with me. And you can. Let's just take the big plans out of it. Maybe for you, just being a follower of Jesus Christ intimidates you. You're not sure that you could pull this whole Christian thing off. I'm going to tell you, you can. You can. As many as received him, to them he gave them the power to become the sons and daughters of God. Well, my past is a mess. So what? The cross is greater than your past. Well, I don't know how to preach. I don't know how to sing. We don't need that. We just need people that are willing to be used by God. Well, I'm not very smart. Look around you. No. I'm kidding. Oh, my goodness. That's the giveaway talking again. You know, I'm not as talented as those people that I see every Sunday. God's not looking for your ability. He's just looking for your availability. And surely he's with you. You could succeed as a Christian because he's with you. So if you're struggling spiritually, you could call out to Jesus and say, be near me, Lord Jesus, and he's right there. And then finally today, moments of disaster. When disaster strikes, it sounds like a bad commercial. When disaster strikes, Jesus is near. We have a promise in the book of Isaiah, chapter 43. It says, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you'll not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Anybody ever feel like they're walking through some deep water, going through some fiery times? Your personal life, your family, your own life. You're not sure what to do. And you're wondering, how am I going to get through all this? when you walk through the waters, Jesus says, I'll be with you. Be near me, Lord Jesus. When sickness hits my family, be near me, Lord Jesus. When I lose my job, be near me, Lord Jesus. When things aren't going well at home, be near me, Lord Jesus. When things are falling apart at school, be near me, Lord Jesus. All of these disasters that strike, and we're not minimizing what you're going through here, but I want you to know that Jesus is near you. He has not left you when things get difficult. There are people that have not been back to church in months because they thought Jesus abandoned them when things got tough, when disaster struck. How do you respond when disaster takes place? Folks, you might get a little wet, but he's there. You might walk through the water. You might go through the fire, but you won't be burned. He's with you. He is Emmanuel, God with us. In times of dismay, in times of discontent, in times of your being a disciple of his, and in times of disaster. I wonder today, as we walk around all this stuff, as we're living life and we go through some stuff, and maybe we're wondering if he's actually there. I want to reassure somebody here today that you can confidently cry out, be near me, Lord Jesus. And you'll find that you don't have to shout. You don't have to scream and hope he heard you. The old song, very old song, says he's as close as the mention of his name. He's there. Will you stand with me? Can you hear me right? Ralph, maybe you can, that first song we did, Emmanuel. And I just want you to be assured today that he is near. Are you in a situation today where you have to say, be near me, Lord Jesus? It may not be a bad situation. It might be just an intimidating one, but you need to throw that out there. Today, I want to give you a chance to do that. So why don't we kind of get in the mode of prayer? Can we do that? Let's just pray. Let's just pray. And if you find yourself saying, be near me, Lord Jesus, will you lift up that prayer to him? You're facing some stuff. You're facing some difficulty. You're facing some trouble. You're intimidated by life. Things have not gone the way that you want them to go. Will you just cry out to the Lord right now? Maybe we want to pray those prayers. God, we lift up our prayers to you, to Emmanuel, God with us. And Lord, I pray that you'd be with us in those times of dismay where we're fearful, where we're discouraged, where we're going through some tough times. Lord, I ask you that you would be near us when we are so obsessed with materialism instead of what's really mattering in our lives, which is that's what is eternal. God, I pray that as we try to be your disciple, and we're a little intimidated by that, we're wildly unsuccessful at it, Lord, you've not walked away from us. You're there. And God, help us to try again. If we're discouraged in our ministry, Lord God, I pray that you be the glory and the lifter of our heads. And God, if there's any that are facing disaster, whatever that disaster may look like, we don't minimize it, but we trust an all-powerful God who is right there with us. So touch us today, I pray. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a chance to get alone with God. If you need to pray that prayer, be near me, Lord Jesus. I want you to have some time where you can talk to him. Maybe at your seat. Maybe you want to come to this altar and pray. However you can most comfortably pray, I want you to do that. And as I close this service, as I say amen, if that's you, spend some time with the Lord and just say, Lord, be near me. I need your help here. If God's released you, you can be dismissed to fellowship in the lobby. But let's seek the Lord today. Emmanuel, God. God with us. Lord, I come to you now. I ask you, Lord Jesus, that you would demonstrate to us once again that you are Emmanuel, God, that you're near. So, Lord, there may be some that need to cry out to you and say, oh, please be near me, Lord Jesus, with whatever we're facing. God, I pray that today they would be captured by your presence and reassured that you're there. I love you. I thank you in your name. Amen. If you need to pray, do so right now. If God's released you, God bless you.